former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour two of the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. He's Michael Lombardi. I'm Stormy Bonatoni. That was the fastest first hour of all time.
That victory lap is so good to take, isn't
feeling
it? Yeah,
so
it feels good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good.
Yes,
so
I have
we're gonna
to
stay in the pro. We're going to stay in the process. We're going to do exactly what we did. Wear the same thing on Monday night that we wore on Saturday. Everything's got to stay the same. Everybody sits at the same spot. Is that how we're going to do this?
So this is great. Everybody, like, I have a lot of folks that I'm friends with that are out there in Houston,
yeah,
and have all been FaceTiming me and texting me. So, like, you got to get out here to Houston. And what they don't understand is that I have watched every San Diego State mm-hmm. game in the tournament from the comfort of my black couch in my home.
Right.
And we've gotten to the point where, like, I'm not superstitious, but I'm a little stitious. And I think that the team might need me to remain on my couch.
I'm a lot. I would never change the routine.
Right. And plus, I don't know about you. I don't like watching my team in, like, an area where other people could be rooting against me.
I would wear, during the 94 season when we were good in Cleveland, I would wear the same thing. And my wife would say, Millie would say to me, she'd say all the time, like, why do you go in at 4:30? If you think that what you wear matters to winning, it's a good point. Yeah, it's a good, of course, naturally, you know, I mean, she was able to give it to me. But the reality of it is there is, like, you just feel better. I feel more comfortable.
You don't want to, even though it's completely illogical, you don't want to change things up and be the reason. Because in your head, it'll still be the reason.
You want to stay. You want to stay the same. You want to be in the same spot, you know. You want to kind of feel the same way. I think it's important.
Yeah, and I like being around like-minded people. Like, I'm not trying to sit, especially when, like, not only is it my school and, like, the program that I have cared
you're
about.
You're vested. You're fully vested.
But yes,
in this.
I'm, like, financially invested as well. So I don't need to be in a room with people that are rooting against me. It's that simple.
I know. It's like I said, you know, it's you want to be around people that are fully invested.
Yes.
So it makes you feel better.
And we'll get the perspective on how things played out in the final four games with Thomas Gable, director of the Recent Sportsbook at the Borgata a little bit later on this hour. We'll also have Colts beat writer for The Athletic, Zach Kiefer, who's going
to
join us
looking
in about 15
that.
Minutes. That's going to be a great conversation.
Yeah.
And maybe a good lead up to that is there are a number of draft props that
right.
are just, like, slowly but surely coming out in different numbers. And the total quarterbacks drafted in the first round number, it's set at 4.5. Currently, the over is still a plus money price. It's plus 250. The under juiced to minus 360. But this actually opened. The under was minus 1,000. So this has been a significant shift here.
Well, because we're seeing a lot of people put Hayden Hooker in the first round. And I think that, you know, a lot of people don't know his medical, which we're going to find out. He'll go back to Indianapolis probably this week for a retest on his knee.
Yeah, coming off the ACL.
Coming off the ACL. So you've got him in that. Plus, he's 26 years old or 25. I mean, he's an older player. Like, that's typically not what goes in the first round. So, but there's a lot of people that are putting him in the first round mm-hmm. because of what he did so well at Tennessee this year and how well he played. Was it Josh Heupel's offense or was it Hayden Hooker really making it better? Got to go back and watch him at Virginia Tech. What happened? Why wasn't he the same player there? So I think a lot of this is stemming from that. To me, the league has, but again, the league is desperate for quarterbacks. So everybody is trying to make it out so that they get one, because if you pass on him, mm-hmm. you're not going to get him in the second round or you're not going to get him in the third round.
And at the time of his injury, Hendon Hooker was, you know, leading the NCAA in completion percentage, had a great touchdown to interception ratio, but to your point, 26 years old. On the flip side of that, Anthony Richardson, 20 years old, somebody that has all of the potential in the world,
yeah.
but as my father has always said, potential just means he ain't done yet. And so, can somebody mold this ball of clay into what they want? His specific over under prop of where he will get drafted is set at 4.5. The over is 2-1. The under minus 250. The expectation being that he will either go 4 to the Colts or sooner.
Well, look, one thing we do know, and this is what's going to be interesting in talking to Zach in the next block, is the Colts don't have an answer on their roster at quarterback. Now, this number will change dramatically if Lamar Jackson signs a tender with Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. because then Richardson's not going to go in that four spot, right? And so does that mean that Baltimore would get the four spot? I don't know. But I don't. I think this number would change. To me, because the Colts don't have it, that's the strength of this. It's interesting that Will Levis isn't in this spot. You know, Will Levis isn't here. You know, his numbers are different than Richardson because Richardson had that incredible workout. So, to me, the Colts have signaled that they're in need of a quarterback. And if they're not going after Lamar, then they're going to have to pick one at four. And a lot of people think they could trade up to three. I don't necessarily think that because I don't know how much action there is to trade up. You know, Will Anderson seems to be the most popular player. But to me, I'm not sure that that's going to be the case. You know, Christian Gonzalez is a really good corner. People like him. The kid from Texas Tech, the defensive rusher from Texas Tech who was injured this year, he's got to go back. We're still in the recheck physical stage to really know where these guys are going to go. And remember, some teams have guys off their board because of the medical. You can't take, for example, Hayden Hooker. The doctor may give him a medical grade that would prohibit you from taking him in the first round.
I keep on looking at the Seattle Seahawks there as someone or a place that Anthony Richardson, I think, would make a lot of sense because he could sit behind somebody. Like, we all know that Geno Smith is not the future, but he did sign that extension that gives you that little bit of leeway for Levis to sit and learn and grow and for you to mold him into what you want him to be. I could understand the Colts having interest in a guy like that because of Shane Steichen being that quarterback guy. He's you know, taken Jalen Hurts to that next level. Maybe you could do that with Anthony Richardson. I just find it so hard to view Anthony Richardson as a top four pick.
It's really hard because there's no evidence.
But it's going to happen, right? Like, it's
I don't know if it's going to happen. Very... I mean, it always happens in mock drafts. In the room. I mean, in the room, which nobody on television has been in the room. They talk about being in the room, but nobody's been in the room. I mean, my man Danny O's never been in a room. He don't even know where the room is. So when he starts talking about it, like, what's he talking about? Like, you've got to be able to justify where you're going with this. Like, how are we going to do this? Like, there's so when you grade the players, there's the horizontal board and the vertical board. And so there's going to be players that are going to be graded higher than Anthony Richardson at their position. I mean, Tyree Wilson from Texas Tech, the rusher, he's going to be graded higher as a pro than Richardson is just because he plays better. And a lot of guys play better. And so you're going to have to make a huge exception to the rule. I think you're right. I do think Seattle, knowing John Schneider, knowing how he operates, it would be a great opportunity for him to think he could get a quarterback there and say, okay, we'll redshirt him. But I also know Pete Carroll wants to get better on defense, and they want to continue to close the gap on the 49ers. So if a Tyree Wilson were there, or if Will Anderson slipped there, or somebody that could rush the passer that could give Seattle a dynamic player, I think that would be the case. Would they wait until the bottom of till their second pick? Perhaps.
So let's say Indy takes Levis. Seattle does not go quarterback. Does Detroit make sense to get him?
I don't see Detroit. I think Detroit's going to try to get a corner. I know they've signed some in free agency. I think they're going to try to continue to help their defense. I think they're going to continue to help their defense. I think they have to help their defense. They need one more rusher to go with Hutchinson on the other side. You know, they need a corner. They've signed corners. They signed Sutton in free agency, but they need other players there in the back end. They need speed.
So it's Indy or he falls then to you.
See, that's where it really gets interesting is where does he go? If Indy doesn't pick him, and, you know, Atlanta's already saying they're going with Ridder. I don't understand it, but that's what they're saying. So, you know, this is a lot of what people are saying that doesn't match their depth chart. That's why you have to ignore it.
Well, it'll be interesting to hear what Zach Kiefer thinks on the subject about what the Colts are going to do with that number four pick. Because if it really is more wide open here, that plus 200 on over 4.5 for Anthony Richardson to go beyond the fourth pick could be interesting.
It is because we've seen this. I mean, look, Anthony Richardson as a collegiate player is at moments he sparkles, but there's a lot of moments where he doesn't. And so you're getting a guy who's going to take time. Now, look, everybody knew when you're down there watching this that the guy could throw the ball from here, you know, to anywhere. I mean, he's incredible arm. He can do flips. He can run. He's fast. He's everything you want in an athlete. But at some point, you got to be able, can that translate to becoming a quarterback?
This is so off subject, and maybe I'm like the old man get off my lawn situation here, but how do you feel about guys doing like backflips and stuff like that? When I would just be so angry if you injure yourself doing something stupid. Just, and I get you're like having fun doing whatever.
I mean, he does that probably just to mess around. I mean, he's so athletic. He can do that kind of thing. It's like,
it's second nature. You just see in the World Baseball Classic guys celebrating and getting injured. Yeah, like, if you're putting yourself in a silly situation to be at risk, but I don't know.
He's dynamic.
He is.
He is dynamic as an athlete. And he's fast to go along with it. And he's hard to tackle. He's Cam Newton with more speed than Cam. Now, he's not as big as Cam was coming out, but he is kind of Cam-ish.
Last 45 seconds here. Can you put in order for me your top four players in the draft?
That to me, I think clearly it's Bryce Young. I think then it goes to CJ Stroud. And for me, Will Anderson didn't play to the level that I keep hearing him talk about this year. You know, and I think Jalen Carter is, but we've got some issues mm-hmm. in terms of off the field that you've got to handle. So to me, I think that's the area. You know, Gonzalez is a good player. The corner from Oregon State's a really good player. There's other guys. Mm-hmm. Anderson's a good player. He didn't dominate this year at all. Mm-hmm. That was not Chase Young-like at all.
Later on this week, we'll get into this a little bit more. Jalen Carter, the under 7.5 draft position at even money right now, which I think if all of this stuff legally is figured out, could be an interesting bet here. Zach Kiefer, Colts reporter from The Athletic, is going to join us coming up next. We'll get the lowdown on what that number four pick situation will be.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to the Lombardi Line. Remember, everybody, right now it's a great time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and more. You can download the BetMGM app and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open up an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere here in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials each day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. We are live from downtown Las Vegas at Circa Resort and Casino. And we were talking a lot in that last block, Michael, about what the Indianapolis Colts are going to do currently sitting with that number four overall pick in the upcoming draft. To help us break it all down, we bring in Indianapolis Colts beat writer for The Athletic, Zach Kiefer, at Z Kiefer with two E's, who joins us now after spending the past week in Arizona at the owners meetings. How are you?
I'm good, guys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, we appreciate you being here. Okay, Zach, so we got Gardner Minshew on the roster. That's it. Right. I mean, they could play with Gardner Minshew. Shane Steichen's had him there in Philadelphia. But what is their answer at quarterback? Is it four? Is it Lamar Jackson? There has to be an answer.
Well, the calendar's flipped to April, right? So the draft's at the end of the month. My gut tells me as of this moment, they're going to go quarterback at four. And they haven't done that in 11 years. They have not drafted a first round quarterback since Andrew Luck in 2012. And everybody out in the NFL world knows this roller coaster they've been on since 2019, since that guy walked away, right? Jacoby Brissett, Phillip Rivers, Carson Wentz, Matt Ryan. They've missed twice in the last 2 years, the last two being Matt Ryan and Carson Wentz. And frankly, there's a lot of fatigue organizationally at the veteran route. Now, Lamar Jackson's a different conversation. He's younger than the last couple. He's dynamic. He's a former MVP. He's 46-15 as a starter, for goodness sakes. And so I think the Colts are balancing both things right now, right? They're the only team that's come out and said, we're not saying no to Lamar Jackson, right? And I think that's significant, because I think if you're the Colts right now and you've been scarred by these veteran misses, but you also don't have the best spot in the draft, right? Houston's going to go quarterback at two. Carolina's certainly going to go quarterback at one. Do you need to move up to three to essentially box out teams that might jump you? Detroit, Seattle, possibly Las Vegas. But my gut tells me they're going to go quarterback at four. They're not going to force a decision. They're not going to really be boxed in terms of having to draft a quarterback. But the guy who has maybe the most important voice in the room, that's owner Jim Irsay. He wants to build around a rookie quarterback. So that's eventually what I think they do at the end of the month.
Okay, so is it Levis or is it Richardson or is it to be determined?
They don't know. They do not know as of this particular moment. And that's the fun part, right, is working through this draft board. They're going to have Levis in for a visit. They're going to have Richardson in for a visit, assuming, and maybe this is a little bit of a gamble, assuming that Stroud and Young are gone by the time they get there at four, who do they go with? I think the interesting element to all of this is not being talked about enough is the head coach. It's Shane Steichen. They hired him to build the offense around the quarterback. And Steichen's had a lot of success with different skill sets, right? Jalen Hurts in Philly, Justin Herbert in LA, and then even before that, Phillip Rivers with the Chargers. So he's done it with a pocket passer. He's done it with an athlete. He's done it with Jalen Hurts, who needed to get better in terms of accuracy. As of right now, gun to my head, I'd probably lean Richardson. I don't think that's a guy that you want to play the first year. Obviously, you guys have talked about all the physical tools that he has. Maybe he's the most athletically gifted quarterback we've ever seen, but he's got a ways to go in terms of accuracy, and he's only started 13 games in college. But I think this is not just a bet on Anthony Richardson. I think it's a bet on Shane Steichen, and that's the bet the Colts are willing to make. They hired this guy to draft and develop a young quarterback, and I just think with Richardson, the ceiling is so high in terms of what he could do. I think that's a bet you make, and you just bet on your quarterback coach, essentially your head coach, who will double as the offensive guru. You just bet on him that he can make him better, a lot like what he just did in Philly with Jalen Hurts.
When it comes to, I just real quickly want to go back to the potential of Lamar Jackson side of this, because you even said it, they are one team that did not close the door on that topic to this point. How much of that to you, though, is them just saying the right thing and saying that they're going to do their due diligence, because so many teams came out right away very abruptly and said, hey, we're not going to do this, that Indy wasn't going to put themselves in a situation to be on that side of things?
That's a really good point, and I'm glad you brought that up, because let's put yourself in Chris Ballard's shoes, right? Indy's not real happy with him. The fan base is not real happy with 4-12-1 last season. And you're picking fourth, so you're not going to get your first or second choice at quarterback, ideally, in theory. It would be really bad for you to come out and say, no, we're not going to go chase Lamar Jackson. It would almost come off like, are you not trying to win? Because his talent is undeniable. His results are undeniable. He would make them better tomorrow and probably favorites in the AFC South, a division they haven't won since 2014. So I think that's just a really bad look, and I think Chris Ballard is really cognizant of that. He knows he's not in a great spot, picking fourth, not getting the first or second pick in the draft in terms of the quarterbacks that most people think will be the best ones in the pros. And then secondly, if you just say no, it's just you're comfortable with Gardner Minshew and Sam Ehlinger, and Nick Foles is on the roster, but he won't be on the roster come August 1st. It's just a bad look, and I think they're cognizant of that. If they come out and say no, that's just a bad look. It's a conversation worth having, and they will have the conversation. But I don't think anything will happen from the Colts end until after the draft, because if they get their guy at four, that's the route they're going to go. If they swing and miss, or if someone jumps ahead of them, then I think the reality is you need to have the conversation a little bit more seriously, because are you really good with rolling Gardner Minshew out next year? I mean, that's just going to put you in another position to pick high again next year.
All right, so let's pick up on that, right? You draft Richardson. Do you honestly think, watching Richardson play at Florida, that you could roll him out as the starter of the Indianapolis Colts? You're going to play Gardner Minshew if you draft Anthony Richardson. I mean, you're rolling him out no matter what you do. See, to me, that's where I get confused. Like, I know that Richardson is elite athletically. He's not ready to play. And everybody who watches tape knows this. So if you're picking him at four, you're not saying you're day one starter. You're going to be 1-15, 1-16. You're not going to win very many games. I don't care if Shane Steichen developed whomever he's developed. It's going to be hard. So to me, the Minshew signing doesn't make sense if you're going rookie quarterback.
I think they're okay with that, Michael. And as hard as 2023 would be, what stood out to me in our hour-long chat with Jim Irsay on Monday night at his hotel in Phoenix were the years he was mentioning. He was mentioning 2025. He was mentioning 2027. He's thinking long term. And this is an owner who has proven to be very patient at times, almost too patient. Now, he was certainly impatient last season, and I wrote about it as much as anybody, hiring Jeff Saturday, all that stuff that went on behind the scenes. But I think they're thinking long term right now with this new coach coming here. And I think if they take their lumps in 2023, they're not going to outwardly say that, but they know that's the right way to build this up. And this team's only had 3 first round picks in Chris Ballard 7 years. What do you get in first round picks if you hit? You get studs, and they just don't have enough studs at the right positions. Their best player is a left guard. It's an off-ball linebacker. You know, they need to have studs at wide receiver, and it's a running back as well, and that's not necessarily the best way to build in today's NFL. So I think if they're able to position themselves for a top pick next year, and I'm talking top 5 pick, those money picks, you're thinking maybe Marvin Harrison Jr. if you like your quarterback, or maybe if they don't like the quarterback, maybe going after one of those top 2 quarterbacks. We're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, but I think they're thinking long-term with this build. I think they're thinking long-term, and Chris Ballard is a GM who is not going to rush the quarterback in if he doesn't think he's ready. He talks about this a lot. He's willing to have the guy sit and wait. And to piggyback on your point, Michael, I've watched the tape on Anthony Richardson. I'm not playing him next year. I'm not playing him next year, whether he's ready or not in terms of what the consensus thinks. I think a year sitting and waiting and watching and learning would do wonders for the next 10 years of his career.
Yeah, and I mean, it's been the lack of consistency, the accuracy, obviously, that everybody continues to bring up. But to your point, if Shane Steichen is able to kind of mold this young 20-year-old ball of clay into what he wants and over time get him to where, I mean, we've seen the freakish athlete he can be when he's at his peak. Yeah. And I always look at that Florida-Utah game week 1 when we were all talking Heisman.
The problem is there's a lot of freakish athletes he's going to play against right now. That's the problem. All those plays are not quite the same. And to me, that's the challenge. And I agree. I know Chris really well. He's a long-term thinker, Zach. But I think he's kind of boxed himself in at 4. He's got to pick the quarterback, or he's got to spend time with Lamar and see if that's even worthwhile.
I think you're right. They have boxed themselves in. And this is what the situation, this is the bed they've made, right? You swing on Carson Wentz and you think that's going to be a 4 to 5 year thing. And you bust out after 12 months, right? Jim Irsay that night after that last game says he's out of here. They go get Matt Ryan. They convince themselves that he's got good football left. They didn't protect him. Both things went terribly wrong. And so they're really in a spot where they need to draft a quarterback. Now, luckily, there's 4 quarterbacks that probably have first-round grades by most. But the reality is, you're right. They need to draft a quarterback. And if he doesn't, the fans are not going to be happy.
Zach, thank you so much. Really appreciate your insight.
Awesome work. Appreciate you, Zach.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Make sure y'all check him out at The Athletic. Great insight on Indianapolis. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, Thomas Gable, director of the Race and Sportsbook at the Borgata, is going to give us the lowdown on all things NCAA tournament.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Get everything you need to bet on baseball this season with 24/7 streaming, daily best bet emails, and advice, data, and strategy. All just $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Our experts are also getting ready for golf's first major of the year at Augusta. This year's upcoming Masters betting guide will break down every golfer in the field, plus futures bets and matchups. Who will don the green jacket in 2023? Sign up today to get full access to VSiN through the NFL draft. Just $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Alongside former NFL executive Michael Lombardi, I'm Stormy Bonantoni. And time to go behind the counter as we welcome in our good friend Thomas Gable, director of the Race and Sportsbook over at the Borgata. Welcome in, Thomas. Are you riding a high like I am today?
Oh, well, congratulations to the San Diego State and their fans and you, Stormy. It's a nice ride, I think, for you guys. And I think the one thing that kind of gets lost that people don't really talk about because of what happened during the end of that season, the 2019-2020 San Diego State team was poised to make a big run there. Mm-hmm. And obviously we all know what happened in the conference tournaments there in 2020 when the whole world went on pause. So I feel, you know, great for Dutcher, for Coach Dutcher to have another team and be able to make the NCAA finals. Cause I think, you know, when that chance kind of went by the wayside there due to circumstances beyond anyone's control, you know, not many people thought the Aztecs would be back in this position, but here they are in 2023. So congrats to you and the fan base. You guys didn't make us any money last night, but that's okay. That's okay.
Speaking about last night, what was the reaction? I mean, was it like it was here at Circa and over at South Point? I mean, was there so much money riding on it, or was everybody pissed off that they took Florida Atlantic on the money line?
Well, yeah, I mean, you had the people that shot really only meant anything to the people who had the money line, right?
Mm-hmm.
Florida Atlantic, if you had taken the points with them, you were in good shape and you still got paid. So, you know, we ended up losing on the game. We needed the Aztecs to cover the number. The reaction was great. Obviously, whenever a game like that, of that magnitude comes down to a last second shot, if you're just watching the game, you're always going to get a great reaction from it. The UConn game though with Miami, a lot of late Miami money here, and you saw, you know, that game was pretty much at 5.5 for forever, and then you saw a lot of places go to 6. I think Circa even closed 6.5. We stayed at 5.5 because we were taking Miami money in, and that actually went our way. We had a nice decision on the total there, with the total staying under in that game. So that game went to our advantage. So we made back what we lost on the first game.
Yeah, it seems like you can't make the point spreads high enough for anybody facing this UConn team, the way that they have just continued round in and round out to dominate. The win over Miami, just 13 points, which was the shortest of any win so far in the tournament. They are like averaging by 20 some points that they are beating teams by. It's insane. So take us through how you guys set the number. We're seeing a consensus 7.5 UConn favoring San Diego State in the championship coming up tomorrow. But where did it start for you guys, and where do you anticipate that number to go?
Yeah, so it's pretty much settled in at 7.5. And let me go back to UConn Miami for 1 second, because I made that game 7.5. My ratings, I made that game 7.5. And when people were asking me yesterday what I would make a potential matchup with Florida Atlantic or San Diego State, I have in my power ratings pretty much identical to Miami. So, I would also make this 7.5. So not surprising that the market has kind of, I know some places open 6, 6.5. It's been bet up to 7.5. I kind of raised the rating on UConn as we've gone on in the tournament. So I had them probably a little bit higher than the market, especially going into that Miami game. But I think this number is about right now at 7.5. I think we're still going to get Connecticut money just because of how they've looked and the way that they're beating teams. I mean, there's no close games that they've played so far in the tournament. They've just been dominant. And they have such a tremendous inside and outside combination, and it doesn't seem like this team has any flaws at the moment. And they've been playing at this level for quite some time. Yes, they kind of went through that little stretch there in conference play in the Big East where they lost some games. But really, after that, they have looked just tremendous. And here we are, you know, they're 7.5-point favorite in going into the championship game. But I think a lot of people will weigh that because just of the way that they have looked so far.
This would be the largest spread since 2009 for a championship game.
Yeah, I mean, TG, you know, you're a Big East expert. I mean, I keep asking everybody, is this the best 4 seed you've ever seen in a tournament?
Well, I think the seeding wasn't great for them. I get why the committee had to put them where they did, but they should have certainly been a higher seed than they ended up. Again, when you look at where they finished in Big East play, you know, they didn't finish in the top two during the regular season or in the conference tournament. So they had teams in front of them, at least record-wise. Now, power rating-wise, yes, they were the highest power rated team coming out of the Big East going into the tournament, but yet you had Marquette there at a two seed in this tournament. So UConn, I think we now see, and the whole country sees exactly just how good of a team, how the complete team this really is.
UConn from December 31st to January 25th lost 7 of 9 games, including a double-digit loss to St. John's, and they appear unrecognizable from that team now, the way that they have dominated teams.
Unrecognizable is the correct word. Not even close. Hey, TG, want to ask you, the women's tournament today, obviously Caitlin Clark has got a lot of love, and people, I mean, we're all going to want to watch her play against LSU, another great team. 3.5. Are you anybody playing this? Are you getting any action on this?
Yeah, we are. And I think with the hype around Clark, and maybe I shouldn't, the hype's well deserved. I'll put it that way. I mean, it's a little disrespectful to her for the way that she's playing it. It's certainly well deserved for people to be excited to watch her. And it's been mostly Iowa money. I think the performances that she has put on, bettors who don't necessarily pay attention to NCAA women's basketball have taken notice. And, it's a fact that it's the championship game. People are going to bet this game. And it's an afternoon start. It's not in prime time. So it's been mostly Iowa money. People laying the 3.5. There's going to be a lot of parlay liability tied into the Iowa money line, I think, today. They're going to be included in a lot in cross-sport parlays with baseball and the NBA. So we're probably going to need LSU when it comes down to tip-off.
Prior to today, I had only bet one women's tournament game this tournament, and it was Iowa to upset South Carolina at a plus
you
money
did?
Price. So I'm letting it ride.
Are you
and
really?
I'm rolling
what,
it into the money line.
And what made you want to do that?
I just like the idea of a streak being broken, which probably just sounds so cruel because South Carolina had such a tremendous season. Yeah, they hadn't lost a game since last year's SEC tournament to Kentucky. But I was like, you know what? If any team's going to do it, maybe it's Iowa. And then, lo and behold, very excited. So I am going to roll it in with a money line on the -155 price with Iowa today. So we'll see how that plays out. One last thing for you here before we let you go, TG. Early baseball handle with opening day last week. How's it doing?
Good. I mean, it's nice to have another everyday sport in the mix now with baseball. So the baseball bettors have returned, and it's always nice. You know, opening day is always a big handle because everybody's excited after the long layoff of a few months, not being able to bet a sport. So now we kind of settle into the daily grind of baseball. And believe me, baseball is a daily grind if you bet that regularly. The handle is right back where we expect it to be.
It takes a special breed to bet daily baseball.
A special breed.
Yes, it does.
to sit through it and watch it and study it and then It takes a lot. It's a commitment. It really is.
Yeah.
Thomas, thank you so much.
Thanks,
as always.
TG.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thomas Gable, director of the Race and Sportsbook at the Borgata. And I'm glad that you asked him about the reaction at the sportsbook because it is so great to see the people who had been winning the entire time and are in disbelief.
Yeah.
And then the people who get the shocking win, right?
And like he said, it really affected the money line, you know, and that's the killer, right? So it's like, oh. That was so good.
Yeah, and I mean, we knew everybody was on FAU plus the points. So we're going to wrap things up when we come back on the Lombardi Line. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. So if you're planning a trip to Vegas, remember, you can also convert your BetMGM points into BetMGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, towards shows, hotel rooms, and more at over 20 MGM Resorts properties that are located here on the Las Vegas Strip or nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to Please play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. BetMGM.com. Visit it for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. We're wrapping things up on the Lombardi Line, live from Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas, alongside Michael Lombardi. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. And Michael, it's time for our pro tip of the hour. We're going to shout out our guy, Jonathan Von Tobel, who joined us earlier talking some NBA betting and his approach to this time of year when lineups are inconsistent, motivations are very interesting for teams that maybe aren't trying as hard or teams that are vying for playoff positions. So the pro tip from JVT, if you are betting games in the NBA right now, this late in the season, maybe consider cutting down your unit size a little bit here with so much uncertainty.
Yeah, and I think the NBA is an uncertain world anyway. Like I asked JVT, you know, no one knows the Kings are the third seed in the West. I mean, like it's just, it's hard to even imagine that they're the third seed. Will they win the West? It's hard to imagine that. JVT thought they would be similar to Atlanta when Atlanta beat Philadelphia and they made it to the conference finals in the East. So, I mean, the unpredictability of the NBA. And I really got to give credit to the players in the collective bargaining agreement where it's going to take 65 games for them to win these awards. We need the players to play with Kawhi Leonard sitting out the second half. I mean,
that's unbelievable.
It's really unbelievable.
And I love Kawhi Leonard, so it makes me sad that it is him that this is done.
But it's always him. It's always him. And I know Paul George is hurt now, but it's the league. And it's unfair. If you're going to have a relationship with betting companies, you're really not. I mean, could you imagine going to a Broadway play and by the third act, the lead actor says, "Well, I can't do it anymore. I'm done. I've got to save myself for tomorrow." Like this is what we're getting, and the ticket prices are ridiculous. And you could say, "Well, the Broadway play, the guy's, you know, he's not really physically exerting himself." Well, I mean, it's exerting.
Yeah.
And so, to me, if they don't clean that up, it's hard, and that's what makes betting on this, and I think JVT's pro tip today is really good.
Yeah, really good advice from JVT. Pro tips at vsin.com/subscribe. We do one every show. Every program here on the network does them. They're searchable by sport and by show on the website. And also just for JVT, make sure you check out Hardwood Handicappers, the podcast. You can download it wherever you get podcasts and just does great regular insight on what's going on in the league, best bets, futures looks, and he's going to do a great preview of the playoffs as we get closer to those games getting underway. Want to go back to a segment that we were doing a little bit earlier in the program. Better or worse, looking at some of the quarterbacks in the NFL who have found their new homes and if their situation is better or worse now. Let's go to, we did earlier, we talked about Derek Carr and Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, Baker Mayfield,
oh boy,
the heir apparent for Tom Brady in Tampa, but obviously really has struggled in his recent history as a starter last year, 2-8. He went 1-5 in Carolina before getting released and traded and picked up, by the Rams, where he went 1-3 in L.A., 60% completion percentage, had 10 touchdowns, 8 picks, and 9 fumbles last year.
You know, and when you watch Baker play, it's hard to imagine that he was the first pick overall in the draft. Gets too many balls patted down, doesn't even make the easy completions, fumbles the ball in the pocket. He was rattled. He has not been the same player. So I don't see how this is a solution. You know, now here's the interesting thing. The Ravens were really trying to get Baker Mayfield. They were trying to sign Baker Mayfield because, you know, we keep talking about Lamar. And if Lamar goes somewhere else, or what does Lamar do? Say he doesn't play. Who's going to play for the Ravens? Tyler Huntley? I know he went to the Pro Bowl, but please stop. So, you know, they were trying. I mean, Baker had some interest by teams out there. I think the Rams would have probably like to re-sign him, but they have no money because of the Matthew Stafford contract. But for me, you know, when you look at this Buck offense that transitions from Byron Leftwich and Tom Brady, and they go back into Dave Canales, who was at Seattle, who's a little bit, a lot of the Ram offense, you know, they're going to have to run the football. Can they run the ball? Is Rashard White going to be good enough to run the football? Do they have enough skill? Mike Evans, can he get him the ball? I just think Baker struggles to see down the field. You say, okay, Lombardi, you like Bryce Young, but you don't like Baker. Baker's short, Bryce Young's short. There's different short, right? Baker can't move in the pocket or instinctively move to give himself the windows to throw. I think Bryce Young can. And Baker throws the ball. And one of the reasons why you don't like talk small quarterbacks is because they tend to overthrow the ball down the middle of the field because they're trying to get it over the defensive lineman's arms. And Baker does that quite a bit. He's sixth in the league this year in terms of batted passes. He usually averages six batted passes a game where the defense gets their hands on the football. I don't see the answer. I'm a big believer in the Bucs under the win total this year.
I do think that this is going to be a big, figure out what Baker Mayfield is type of a year, because last year he's coming off of the shoulder surgery. He's looking for a team, rehabbing. At least this time around, he's going to get an open and fair opportunity to be at his best. He knows where he's going to be. He's healthy right now. It's an open competition with Kyle Trask, right? But you expect him to be the starter coming in here.
I don't know. You know, Stormy, if Sam Darnold didn't get hurt, Sam Darnold played better for Carolina than Baker did. You know, now everybody laughs at Sam Darnold, but Baker rides that first overall pick in the draft. And let's face it, it was a mistake.
Yeah, and he shouldn't have been.
He should not have been. I mean, John Dorsey made the pick. It was the wrong pick. He should have picked Josh Allen, should have picked Lamar Jackson. He should have picked somebody else that could have played at the higher level.
I guess I'm just trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, going back to the guy that he was prior to fighting for the contract negotiation and injuring his shoulder, where he did lead the Browns to a divisional round and gave the Chiefs everything they had, right?
Right.
And so
that's a great point you make there, because I think what happened to Baker there was that when he made the playoffs and they were running Stefanski's offense, people got an idea, okay, this is the only way Baker can play is this way. And then you defend him that way. Mm-hmm. And then once he couldn't really play another way and it became a drop-back pass game, his game didn't match it.
Let's look at one more quarterback here these last couple of minutes with Taylor Heinicke moving on to Atlanta. The Commanders bring in Jacoby Brissett from Cleveland. A one-year deal, $8 million guaranteed at signing, worth up to $10 million with incentives. He's going to compete with Sam Howell, who we know Ron Rivera has kind of given the first nod to as being the starter. But Brissett was better than Deshaun Watson was last year.
No doubt he was better than Deshaun. And Deshaun, you know, Deshaun's a 67% completion percentage quarterback, and he threw it 58% last year. He was a disaster, Deshaun. I mean, how he didn't get benched is really somewhat remarkable. And even though Brissett isn't great, he was better. You know, he was better. I thought he anticipated throws at a higher level. I just have a hard time understanding how Washington, knowing that they're selling the team, is how they can't be interested in a quarterback.
Do you not explore the Lamar Jackson side of this?
Or try to trade up to get Richardson or try to trade up to get Levis. I mean, seriously, I like Sam Howell, but he was if you think so highly of Sam Howell, why'd you pick him in the fifth round? I mean, and what did Sam Howell do in the one game that's given you all this hope? Like, that's a lot of faith to put in one game.
I am surprised. I'm surprised that they didn't at least do their diligence in trying to figure out the Lamar Jackson side of things, specifically because Dan Snyder's going to sell the team, right? And you would think that not only would signing Lamar Jackson potentially be like an FU to the league in terms of like the money side of things, but you would also increase your team's value for the future and get even more money when you're trying to sell the team.
Wouldn't you want to endear yourself to the new owner when he walks in the building and said, here's my notebook. Here's my notebook on Lamar Jackson. Here's why we didn't. Here's why we did. I just think it's being lazy. And look, they could shift the power. I mean, they could shift the balance of power. The Giants can't beat good teams, right? They can't beat good teams. We know this. I mean, even though they love Daniel Jones, they haven't been able to beat good teams. Minnesota's not a good team, by the way. So, Washington could really close that gap if they got a legitimate player. Now, it might be Sam Howell, but, boy, that's an awful big risk.
Yeah, and, give you a quarterback that can compete with Dallas and Philadelphia,
right?
And
so, in the NFC, this is the perfect opportunity. The window's wide open. Again, a lot of these problems, you blame it. We're talking about the teams. Lamar has to shoulder the blame for not having an agent. Somebody should be out there selling Lamar, and they're not.
There's no doubt that he is doing himself a disservice at this point when it comes to not having an agent. Okay, that is a wrap for us today on the Lombardi Line. Thanks so much for joining us. Enjoy the Women's College National Championship coming up today. Can the Iowa Hawkeyes finish their historic run here over LSU? We shall see.